Welcome to the First Pres Sermon Podcast, where each week we dive into Scripture, wrestle with truth, and discover how faith intersects our lives. God's Word meets us where we are, challenging, shaping, and calling us into something greater. No matter where you are on your journey, you belong here, and we're praying that this sermon might help you take a next step in faith towards Jesus. Hey, let's dive into today's message together.
Belong.
How do I break in and be a part of this church? Sometimes it's a hard thing to do. We want to make it as easy for you as we can. Find your pattern for worship. Find your people to grow with. But you know what? There's one more step. Find your place. Find your place to serve. Every Sunday, I look out over the congregation at a sea of people alive with experiences and gifts. People who have been placed here intentionally to serve God in this time in this city. Each one uniquely equipped, each one a voice and a note of a larger song. Scripture reminds us that the body of Christ isn't made of one part, but of many, and no part can thrive alone. Here's the thing, the body only thrives when every part does its part. It isn't just for you that Christ has poured His grace into your life. It's so that you would be transformed and ready to serve, to love like Jesus, even when it takes sacrifice. What's your gift? Maybe you've got a gift for hospitality. A warm smile comes easy to you, and a quick handshake, and an easy hello. You could be a greeter. Maybe you got a voice. You could be in the choir. Maybe you love kids. You could bounce kids on your knee in the nursery for hours and not even feel it later. Maybe you love teenagers and all their questions and all their challenges. There's a place for you to serve. Maybe you love teaching kids. There's a place for you. Maybe you just like to be behind the scenes, just making things work on the tech team or on a facilities team or helping to put out refreshments for others. There's so many different ways to use our gifts. And so I encourage you to pray and to seek the Lord and to find your place to serve. Wherever your gift lies, ask, where can I help others find Christ? Let me tell you a quick story. I knew a man named Ed, and he was an 88-year-old elder at my church. And here's what he did every Sunday morning. He got up earlier than everyone else, and he started the pot of coffee. God bless Ed. Well, Ed went to be with the Lord, and I was delivering his service. And I said, folks, you know what just happened. Ed has walked into heaven. And somebody said, do you see that guy? Do you know how he got here? And Ed said, I bet he heard a great sermon from Pastor Tim. No. Oh, I bet he was moved by beautiful music from the choir. That wasn't it. That man is here because of that warm cup of coffee that hit his hand in the morning when he needed to hear the gospel. And it gave him just enough warmth and energy for the seeds of eternal life to slip in. Every gift you give for the kingdom of God can change eternity. Find your place. Visit firstprescause.org/belong and find where you can serve. Find your place to serve and belong.
Here we go. Good morning, everybody. We're going to be looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 7 to 13. So I invite you to turn there. But let me open us in prayer as we open God's word. Lord, we want to say thank you for your presence in this place. And as we open your word now, Lord, help us to not just hear these words that are coming out of my mouth, these words that are hopping off the page, but Lord, help us to live them out. And may we give you the glory as we seek to serve you with these lives that you've given us, Father. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Starting in verse 7. Instead, we were like young children among you. Just as a nursing mother cares for her children, so we cared for you. Because we loved you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. Surely you remember, brothers and sisters, our toil and hardship. We worked night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preach the gospel of God to you. You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory. And we also thank God continually because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as a human word, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, happy Labor Day weekend, everybody. Way to come to church. Sometimes Labor Day weekend's one of those like, I'll check out, not do it. But you're here. Good job. Extra points for everyone, okay, who came Labor Day weekend. But it's the fall in Colorado Springs, and the fall in Colorado Springs means that people are finding themselves in new environments. Kids, students, if you are off into school, you probably have found yourself in a new grade with new teachers, new seating assignments, I'm guessing, right? And so some things that you left back in May, they're now all different, and you're in a new environment altogether. I actually talked to a kiddo who was homeschooled all the way through junior high, but then now is just tipping forward into high school in public school in a new environment. But you know, kids and students, you guys aren't the only ones that are tipping into new environments. I actually met an 87-year-old man who's in the process of selling his home of 40 years and is now moving into a retirement community. New environment, new relationships. A 23-year-old woman I met about to head out to begin her first post-college job in a totally different state. New relationships, new surroundings. And finally, a married couple, good friends of mine, who are about to move from the familiar environment of couplehood, just the two of them, now about ready to enter into the overwhelming but joy-filled chapter of raising a kiddo. New things, new environment. Sometimes when we find ourselves in new environments, questions surface. And they're questions like these. Do I belong here? Is this a place for me? And if so, where do I fit? In church, can we find ourselves asking those questions at times? Oh yeah, you bet we do. Whether you're new among us here and you're just kind of wading into the waters for the first time, questions like that are probably right there on your mind. But you may have actually been here for years asking the very same questions. Do I belong here? Is this a place for me? And if so, where do I fit? And in a big church like ours, it can happen, which is why we've been wanting to take a look at what it means to belong. Belong. We first and foremost apprehend a sense of belonging first to God as we find our pattern in worshiping him. So we behold God in his majesty and his holiness and who he is. And by beholding him, we behold who we are as a result. So find our pattern. We also, last week we learned what a vital part of our belonging is and how it comes from finding our people. We weren't meant to do this by ourselves. The Christian life is lived out among Christian brothers and sisters. And finally, today we're going to explore what it means to belong as we find our place to serve. Find our place to serve. Now, for just a few seconds, this is going to feel like a commercial. Are you ready? You got this card on your way in, but I also want to put this up in front of you so that you are allowed to use your phone in this moment, okay? And all the parents are looking at me like going, I just got my kid to put it away. Why are you doing this? But if you scan that QR code, you're going to go to Find Your Place page where a lot of volunteer opportunities are here at First Pres. But at the bottom of that, there's actually a place, if you don't see anything in there that you really want to lean forward into, you can put something down there to say, I feel like the Lord's calling me to do this. We want to pray for you. We want to encourage you and champion how the Lord has shaped you and tipped you forward into service for him. So I wanted you to be able to have that. But today is, that's enough of the commercial. Have it for later. Today is a day of invitation. And I want to invite you to find your place. But here's the thing, not just in the church, not just in this church. That would be too small. If I got up here and just dead as roaring, serve the Lord's sermon, and it was all about First Pres, it's pretty small. I want you to find your place in the larger mission of God that is currently underway and has been for quite some time. Each of you have gifts, and each of you have something to offer the Lord as you serve him with your eyes on him. And so that's what I want to call you into. Everybody just say, serve the Lord. Yeah. It's a theme all throughout Scripture, Old and New Testament. In fact, in Psalm 100, it says, make a joyful noise to the Lord, serve the Lord with gladness. In Deuteronomy, we read this, and now Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all of his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Big calling. Joshua 24:15, but as for me and my house, what? We will serve the Lord. And in today's passage, Paul's words to the Thessalonians offer us encouragement toward this idea of serving God. And you know, Paul, Silas, and Timothy were three guys that knew their place. They knew their gifts, they knew their calling, and they used both to serve the Lord. Now, I'm going to actually share with you my biggest fear in preaching this sermon today. And here's how I want to set it up. Pastor Greg, a couple weeks back, was talking about find your pattern, and he came across this verse. It's beautiful in 1 Thessalonians 1:3, beginning of the letter. It says, we remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope. You see the big three there? Some of you that know Paul's letters, faith, hope, and love. Big three. Big three beautiful motivators for our working and serving God. What's my fear? Here it is. I fear that I'm going to deliver this sermon on serving God, and somehow you're going to contort that to read this. We remember before our God and Father, your work produced by guilt, your labor prompted by legalism, and your endurance inspired by earning God's approval. A little snickering, a little nervous laughter. We do this all too often. And in pastoring, I find this to be the case way more than I wish I found. Friends, let's, as we lean forward in defining our place in serving God, can we just ditch that? And make sure that we are before God and hearing from him the right motivators for serving him. Amen? Let's look at 1 Thessalonians, starting in second chapter, verse 7. He says, just as a nursing mother cares for her children, so we cared for you. Because we loved you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. You know, typically when we think of the Apostle Paul who's writing this letter, we think of somebody who's pretty bold and brash, you know, just kind of get in there and give them the gospel. But he's saying, no, it was like a mother caring for her kiddos is how we brought the gospel to you. Do you see that? Paul didn't just show up in Thessalonica and mic drop the gospel and say, deal with it. If Facebook was around back then, he didn't just, you know, fire in some sort of status and say, there's truth, deal with it. No. He loved these people. It's no small element. I'm going to talk about it for a while. Are you guys ready? Some of you guys have gifts of teaching, of listening, of encouraging. Some of you are naturally generous. Some of you guys are more of that behind the scenes kind of thing. Whatever it is, let's have the love of people on the front lobe of our mind. Amen. And in fact, are there anybody that came in here with a King James version of your Bible or fan of a King James version? I figured there would be less in the worship center, but there's a couple of diehards. King James, it's the only version. Well, let me give you what the King James says in that verse that we just read. Paul says, being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you, not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear to us. Don't you love that? Ye were dear to us. Turn to your neighbor and say, ye are dear to me. Yeah. I mean, I know I'm a pastoral care pastor and caring ministries. I can get kind of warm and fuzzy. But this is serious stuff. In fact, Paul actually, in a different letter to a totally different group of people in 1 Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, this is what he says about us serving God divorced from love. Okay? And this is Eugene Peterson's reinterpretation in the Message. He says, if I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy, but don't love, I'm nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. There's another version that says a resounding gong. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all his mysteries and making everything plain as day, and if I have faith that says to a mountain, jump, and it jumps, but I don't love, I'm nothing. If I give everything I own to the poor and even go to the stake to be burned and die as a martyr, but I don't love, I've got nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. Can you see the importance here that Paul's putting forward? Friends, find your place today in this week with the love of people on your mind. A good question maybe for you to be able to ask today is, who in my path needs to know the love of God? And how can I use my gifts in such a way to where that happens? Now, as we move through this passage, we actually find Paul getting, I think, a little defensive here. Look at verse 9. Surely you remember, I mean, have you ever started a sentence like that? Oh, surely now you remember this. Brothers and sisters, our toil and hardship. Surely remember, we work night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preach the gospel of God to you. You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy and righteous and blameless we were among you who believed. Man, you went from this, you know, like a nursing mother to, hey, you remember how we lived our lives? Don't forget that. Why is he doing that? Well, see, we know that there were some folks around Thessalonica that were likely accusing Paul and Timothy and Silas of living their lives just like all the other traveler people that would sometimes come through there and would work for a ton of money, or they sought after status or flattery. Look how awesome I am. You know, I'm going to speak and gather a crowd because I need the money. I want some status. I want some flattery. And Paul's like, we did not live that way. You guys remember this. We lived, and the gospel landed into a place where you didn't just have the words, but it was embedded in genuine lives of love that we lived among you. And so Paul wants them to remember this. And we are reminded that the gospel today, friends, as it comes forward out of this place, out of this church, you all are ambassadors of the gospel of God. But that means that the delivery method in which it needs to come must come with great sacrifice, consistent, and integrity. Paul's words challenge our world's culture of self-promotion, doesn't it? It's kind of dog-eat-dog out there, right? I'm gonna advance my causes and what I feel really passionate about. And if that's at the expense of you, you know, so be it. Because this is really what it's about. And Paul's just saying that is not what it's about. And that's not how we go about finding our place here. We have to move forward with the gospel with the love of people on our mind. When I was younger, I used to think that finding my place meant, waiting around for the most perfect opportunity for me. I don't know if you guys know this. I used to be a worship leader here long ago in this room. And somehow, this can happen sometimes in worship leaders. I'm glad it doesn't here to our career. Are we grateful for how worship is led here? We can enter into God with full hearts, knowing that we have people of great character up here leading us in that. That's not just prop Chris up, but there's a real sense of calling and giftedness, knowing that it's found in the holiness of God. But when I was a worship leader, I remember there was a squirreliness about what it was to serve God, because it was mixed into this kind of mud of my own significance and my own, you know, sense of like development and all of that. And when that didn't really stick, it actually devolved into this other unhelpful ditch, which was like, okay, the will of God isn't going to just parachute in a blessing. Maybe it's actually this razor-like edge, you know? And so there's the will of God, and I've got to come down and land on it perfectly like a balance beam, you know? And if I can take myself and just balance myself on the will of God with all my gifts and that razor-like edge, then I won't hopefully fall, you know, away from what his best is. And that got me in all kinds of anxiety. If you're constantly trying to please God or landing on a place where you think this is it, you're going to find yourself stuck in a hurry. But Paul shows us something actually much different than either of those two ditches. He basically says, see what you got, where you are, and get started. It's that easy. See what you got, where you are, and get started. Don't sit back waiting for your dream ministry to just kind of land in front of you, or just think that there's just one place for you to serve him. You know, have you ever heard that sentence, an object in motion is a lot easier to steer than one that's sitting still? You know? That's kind of our spiritual lives sometimes. We just have to kind of step out and move forward and then trust that the Holy Spirit's going to go ahead and guide us if we're not moving in the right direction, you know, rather than getting so gummed up wondering if we're going to get it right. So think of this, friends. Are you good with your hands? Use your skills to bless others. Are you a teacher at heart? Teach somebody. Do you have compassion for the hurting? Volunteer in places where your empathy can become a healing balm. We're looking for deacons right now. Are you good with hospitality? Invite someone in. I mean, friends, your gifts are of no value if we don't put them into motion. And today is the invitation for that very thing. Now, here's something else I want to talk about. It's a little bit off of the word, but I think it's helpful because I see it as a pastor sometimes where people just get so gummed up. God is not in the business of playing hide and seek with your purpose. It's not his style. He's not dangling some kind of mystery out there and you, good luck. Well, Chris, I hope you get it right. If you don't, I guess you're not going to be in my will, you know? And we definitely need Ephesians 2 on a day like today. I want to read it together. This is verse 10. Let's read this together. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. You see, God's way out in front of us. You see, before you were born, before you were even a blip on the radar screen, you are his handiwork that he breathed life into, that he wired in a certain way, and now the Holy Spirit wants to be in your life to be able to fan that into flame for his good pleasure and for his purposes. But it's right where we are. Moving on to verse 11, Paul says, for you know that we dealt, now watch the change here, for you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and glory. And we also thank God continually because when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as a human word, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. So Paul, I thought you were talking about like a nursing mother. Now you're coming to us like a father. What's going on? Well, family of faith. Paul's drawing on both to be able to say how they entered into this community. And he's basically saying, hey, we were like that loving father that wants his kids to be exhorted, encouraged, and challenged to grow. Sometimes we need encouragement from our spiritual fathers to be able to be challenged into where God is calling us to be. And this is how Paul moved into these people's lives. But he did this with these folks, and he was reminding them, guys, it's not just about the work that we're doing or the work that we're trying to get you to do. It's about the power of God working in you. How many of y'all know the difference between serving God in your own strength versus serving God with the power of the Holy Spirit? Is there a difference?
Uh-huh.
There is. These are diametrically opposed ideas. We can serve the Lord on our own strength and our own power and actually put together our own metrics about how that might actually go about. Serving God with the power, which is indeed at work in you who believe. When we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we come into a wonderful saving relationship with him. But here's the wonderful thing. It comes as a package deal where the Holy Spirit gets to embody into that zone as well. And we are put into motion by the power of the Holy Spirit for his good pleasure. Wow. We don't want to forget about the power of the Holy Spirit as we think about serving God. There's a man who ushers in the sanctuary. His name is Jim Fraker. And Jim, he was in the video a minute ago. I talked to him last week because Jim was telling me about years back when he came to First Pres. He was an usher at his previous church, and so he just figured he'd usher here as well. So he started ushering, passing out bulletins and cards like that are here. And if people needed to know where the bathroom was, he could tell them and that kind of stuff. And one day he was ushering, and Jim Desjarnet, who used to be our music minister at the time, came up and put his hands on Jim's shoulders. And looking at him right in the eyes, he said, "Jim, do you realize you aren't just helping people find a seat in the sanctuary? You are ushering them into God's house." And just that little flip right there, Jim like woke up and he was like, "Oh my gosh, I am ushering people into God's house, into the very presence of the Lord." And I'm telling you right now, Jim, he's actually been battling some crazy things right now, health-wise. But with tears in his eyes, as he was in that hospital bed looking back at me, he said, "I will never see ushering the same again." Friends, what would it look like for us to be able to have this kind of conviction and purposefulness in our mind and heart as we serve God? Friends, you might be working with youth. You might be rocking babies, or maybe I just lost some of you because I talked about rocking babies, and many of you think, "Oh, that's definitely not my place. I'm not going to babysit." But it's actually not why the nursery is here, is to babysit. The nursery is down the hall because what if we were able to go into those places knowing that we get to steward a little life that God is entrusting us with, a little son or daughter of him, that maybe it's in the way that we're rocking them that day that this child gets to just home into the comfort and safety of that moment that informs their understanding of who God is later. The Lord is compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in love. And you providing that service right there is planting a seed for the long haul of this kiddo. Maybe it's not about the kiddo so much as it is about the mama who's down the hall at Momco, finally being able to break away just for an hour to be able to put themselves in this room and be transformed by the word of God that's finally coming into ears that are able to be open to hear. But you're actually providing space for that to happen. Do you see the difference? It's not babysitting. It's holy space that you're providing for the word of God and the presence of God to enter in. Now, I want to get real practical with you right now. You might be sitting here going, "Oh man, there's so much I could do. How do I find my place?" Start with prayer. I want to give you 5 things that you can write down or think about as we leave here. Start with prayer. Ask God to show you. You know what? He made you. Yeah, you are his idea. And he so wired you in certain ways that you might not even know just yet how you're wired up. Go to him first and ask him to reveal where these gifts might be fanned into flame. So start with prayer. Number two, pay attention to your passions and your burdens. Your passions, what do you love doing? What just stokes your fire? It's not so much maybe your neighbor, but you're excited about this. And then what breaks your heart? Sometimes the space where those two synthesize is where you find your place. And then number three, look for open doors. Again, don't wait for perfect conditions like I did once long ago. Just serve where you can and serve where you are. Sometimes opportunities come as you move, not as you sit still. So look for those open doors. Now, this is my favorite, number four. And I don't know how spiritual it is, but here it is. Try something. Give it a go. We don't do this enough. It's like, you know, it's like, oh, I got to get this right. I got to take the gifts assessment, make sure I got all that lined up. I make sure it's supercharged with all this scripture and like, well, maybe, but what if you just try something and you found something that you really enjoyed, right? I'm looking at people that may have just tried working with youth, probably thinking they'd be gone the next year. Shelly, how many years have you worked with the youth?
Four.
Four years down the road. I thought it was a lot longer than that. That's because you were actually in this crew, right? For a long time. I mean, I love it, but you just try something and you never know what the Lord might set on fire in your heart. And number five, and this might be most important. Friends, we got to trust God for the impact. If we're going to be honest, we like results, don't we? And we like knowing the impact that we're making. In fact, you know, I want to know, like, if I'm going to invest here, that I'm going to get this kind of return from here. I'm going to see it, you know? We like metrics. We like graphs. Nothing inherently evil about that. But friends, here's the kingdom of God. You might not actually see the fruit from where you step forward in faith. It might be on the other side of heaven before you're awakened to the idea that your obedience gave birth to possibilities. So we got to trust God for the impact. As I close, I want to read an excerpt written by James Dobson. James Dobson, who served as Focus on the Family's founder here in Colorado Springs, and who wrote this just days before he breathed his last. And this is what he says: I have concluded that the accumulation of wealth, even if I could achieve it, is an insufficient reason for living. When I reach the end of my days, a moment or two from now, I must look backward on something more meaningful than the pursuit of houses and land and machines and stocks and bonds. Nor is fame of any lasting benefit. I will consider my earthly existence to have been wasted unless I can recall a loving family, a consistent investment in the lives of people, and an earnest attempt to serve the God who made me. A loving family, a consistent investment in the lives of people, and an earnest attempt to serve the God who made me. Friends, the invitation is yours today. Find your place. But here's the thing. It isn't about getting recognition or significance in of yourself. I'm going to find my place so I can feel good about myself. It's not about climbing some sort of ladder to the top of whatever list we throw at you or something. It is also not about putting God in your debt as if he owes you something. And it certainly is not about earning his approval. He loves you already. And there's nothing you can do about that. You look at that cross and you realize, oh my gosh, God so loved the world that he gave. God so loved the world that he served. his heavenly Father in such a way that whosoever would believe in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Put your faith in him, but that's the work that you have in front of you in response to that right there. You don't earn your way to where we're headed. You receive a gift. But friends, if we're going to receive the gift of grace of God in our lives, and we behold it, we know who we are, and we thank him for his forgiveness, for his restoration, for the impact, for rescuing us from eternal separation from him, why would we not want to just turn right back around and say, Lord, I take my hands off my life. I'm going to take my hands off my life, and I'm going to give my life right back to you and serve you with all that I am. That's what today is inviting you into, friends. So as we close, let's pray one more time before we sing. Father, you've made us, you love us, you've died for us, and you continue to work your wonders in us for your glory. And so, Father, I just want to say thank you for placing each of us in your family, for giving us all gifts to serve you. And today, right now, Father, I pray that your Spirit would give us courage and faith to step into the work you've called us to do, so that in all we do, your name would be honored, and that many would come to know your goodness, your grace, your love, Lord. Jesus, we belong to you. So have your way in these lives. We pray it in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen.
Hearing God's word is just the beginning. What connected with you? What challenged you today? Maybe it's surrendering something, stepping into community, or simply trusting him more deeply. Whatever it is, don't leave it for later. Act on it today. We're praying that this message moves you closer to Jesus, and we'd love to walk with you in that journey and answer any questions you've got. Connect with us by visiting firstprescos.org. Hey, if today's message encouraged you, take a moment and subscribe so you never miss an episode, and share it with someone who needs to hear it. Check in next week, and we'll continue to grow in our faith together. See you next time.